you know, the Lord wants everyone to get his heart for each other. And I think men need to hear teaching about how, especially in the anointing and the inner healing about abortion, because it's just so casual to produce children. And I remember this man who used to come a long time ago. I don't know what's happened to him since, probably all kinds of stuff because he walked away from the Lord. But he had 5 or 6 children outside of marriage that he had before he got married. And then he was always grumbling and complaining of having to pay child support. And the Holy Spirit, as a Christian man, the Holy Spirit just had me jump all over him in love. Like, what are you talking about? Paying that little bit of money is the minimum that you should do as a Christian for a child Amen. That you produced. Amen. The minimum. You should want to pay for their college. You should want to visit them as much as you can. You should want, don't, if you expect me to have a pity party for you based on God's love and his word when you produce children and you want to treat it like nothing, it's not like that in the eyes of God. You need to get more faith for him to give you increase to take care of what your own issues, you know, got you involved in. Amen? Because God sees that precious. So I think it's important, and I know the Lord did that message this morning, for men to understand and to get that message out, that when women go through an abortion, it is not a little thing. Right, because they sit there and they kind of get all freaky out and it's not their issue and they want to go, you know, the other way. And it is their issue. There would not be an abortion if a man was not involved. There's not a single abortion that happened that did not have a man involved. And truthfully, even as the church, we've kind of, I don't want to say let them off the hook, we haven't dealt with that victim mentality or that deeper pain or that hiding place that I didn't really do anything. Amen. So I'm glad the Lord got them all to stay here, even though men get so nervous when you talk about this stuff. I mean, they're worse than women, I think. They're like, oh, don't talk about abortion. Don't talk about sexual abuse. Don't talk about that stuff that had a man involved in it. And let me just say this, because the Lord's put in my heart. We've got to get free from men bashing, okay? Because they are wonderfully made in the image of God. And think what an awesome thing when God gets a hold of a man and truly puts his nature inside of him. And he becomes that godly husband led by the Spirit of the Lord, to be led by the Lord to protect us, to be led by the Lord to be a provider, or at least in our culture. Let's face it, lady, women's lib did more to make you have to work than any man ever did. Okay? How dumb were we? I'm just saying, could you imagine the church fund we could have if none of us had to work? And it hasn't helped us working. I'm just saying this. I mean, if you get divorced and you got to have a job, yeah. But if I don't know that there even be all that if we didn't just go in the slide. Do you know what I'm saying? Think how good it would be if the economy, everything was half the price because there was only half the income. And that's all they could get, so that's all it'd be. And then we could all get together for prayer meetings all day, raise our kids in God, be preaching the gospel, just awesome, traveling, missions. Anyway, we blow it, so okay, we need to pin to that. You know, but see, that's Satan's plan, get us so busy and make us want to be them. Okay, and we need to get free from that. We need to get free from wanting to be anyone but who he's made us to be. And we need to get free from judging all that. We need to get free from men bashing. Lord set me free from men bashing a long time ago because we just do it as a joke, you know. You sit around and make fun of men. I know none of you ever did that. None of you. But way, way back in my young Christian days as a heathen coming to the Lord. And the Lord began to show me some of that in jokes that they so and the Lord had to really put in my heart a sincere love and appreciation for his idea of a godly man. Amen? The whole idea of a husband comes from the Lord. And they're to represent him. I know I was going to thank you, Lord. And with some of our church doctrine, such as the priest of the... Has anyone ever heard the husband is the priest of the home? Where did they make that one up at? You know, I'm just saying, if it's not that, there's whole books on it. There's whole books on it. And when it comes to New Testament priesthood, amen, we are all priests and kings unto the Lord. Amen? And how many have ever heard that your husband is your spiritual covering? Okay, and then how many have heard that if you don't have a husband, your pastor's your spiritual covering? I've just been in some really bad meetings before. I mean, I was in a meeting once where the pastor just really got up and began to share how he was the spiritual covering for every woman there whose husband wasn't walking with the Lord. And I'm thinking, okay, you pay the bills according to your doctrine. You take care of the kids according to... No, I mean, it's like, where are you getting this from? Anyhow, so let's look at where they think they're getting it from. And let's just see. Let me see that. I want to talk about this because Lord's putting this on my heart. Because if you don't understand God's idea and you were sexually molested or you were promiscuous or you were hurt by men, then you're going to have a really hard time inside yourself finding the freedom to respect and honor God's idea of a husband and God's idea of a man. Amen? Yeah. Let's just go to Ephesians 5. All right, let's just start at the beginning because I kind of like doing things from the beginning so you get the whole letter, or at least this part of the letter. Become imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, even as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, an odor and a sweet smell. But let not fornication, any uncleanness, greediness be named among you, as is fitting for the saints. If we were perfect the minute we're born again, which is such a lie, why would he have to write these letters to the church? And don't be shocked. It is a little shocking that they had the same junk way back in Bible days. Now, I believe it's magnified because of the media. Magnified. I mean, if I'm not going to say how old I am. I'll tell you guys, but I want to tell on the tape. But we see these. Anyway, I'm older than 50. And things have changed so much in the last 10 years in the area of uncleanness and unbelievable what has happened in the media in 10 years. Amen? Daytime television. I mean, you can find someone fornicating or having an adulterous affair and showing too much skin besides just insinuating what's going on regular television. Yeah, all the time. Talk shows are completely filthy and ridiculous and purposely bringing up the most sensual and perverted subjects they can come up with. And everybody watching, even though most of it's totally made up baloney, it's just feeding people and feeding people and feeding our children. And your children at young ages are dressing like they're mature women and already talking about, getting plastic surgery and things and dressing, in seductive ways. And it's just amazing what the enemy has really pushed. And we need to repent of any part of that we bought into. Amen? Like, it was our generation or my generation that really started the soap operas. We're the ones who started sexual perversion as entertainment in this nation. And so we have to see that and hate that and recognize, look what we did. We desensitized people to holiness and the idea of marriage and relationships, and we did it for entertainment. We wouldn't even go out on the day that one of those soap operas was having a big finale, which took like 5 months back then, They used to just stretch that story on forever and ever. I can't pick the kids up from school. I've got to be... Tell them to stay at the after-school events. I'll be back in an hour, But the truth is we opened the door. We opened the door for witchcraft. We laughed at I Dream a Genie and Bewitched and these cute little demonic shows that weren't supposedly going to hurt anything. And now we go, how could they be watching Harry Potter and teaching that in schools? Well, because we watched Bewitched and thought it was cute. Right? You go back to the movies we watched when and we didn't realize how bad they were. So let me say with that, we got to get free from self-righteousness because the Lord has put in my heart, don't expect other people, even your family members or your children, to walk in the kind of conviction that you walk in. But repent for anything that you as a parent didn't do, led by the Spirit of God, to protect them. And repent from everything, anything that you've done in your life to open these doors. Amen? And we had a whole conference on that once. It was powerful. Everybody got up and repented from ever watching anything to do with magic or witchcraft and all this, and the whole place, the power of God just hit. It was just awesome. And so, and I know personally for me, I was talking to somebody even today or yesterday. I mean, if you really walk in on my sons, even as young men, they are watching. My one son loves cooking shows. He loves to cook. It's probably because his mother didn't, and he thought, there's got to be better food than this. So the last couple of years before he moved out, he did most of the cooking. It cost a lot because he followed their recipes, and I mean, but it was worth it to have somebody else cook and taste it well. So, and then the other son, I mean, he mainly watches sports. I mean, everything is sports. And they really aren't that interested in the other stuff. I'm not saying they've never seen it. I'm not saying they've never gone. But the few things they've gone to, they'll even come back and they think, this is terrible. You pray, Holy Spirit, convict them. When I see these horrible movies coming out, there are horrible movies coming out right now. Like some of the most demonized, I can't even stand to sit in the previews. I'm telling you, even on television, you'll be watching some happy little really good show, and all of a sudden, somebody's doing crazy, demonic, blatantly demonic things. What is it? Change the channel. As it, stuff gets in your house, and you need to punish those demons for coming out of your TV in Jesus' name. But, I mean, it's just you can't even leave for 5 seconds with the TV on anymore, honestly, and know for sure that something demonic is not going to attack your children if they're in the room. I think they purposely, when you go to a semi-Christian movie or Christian movie, put the worst previews you can think of up there, just almost like to mock God and to taunt us, you know. And they're so bad. Some of the stuff that's coming up is so demonically, unbelievably bad. And what is going to release on our nation? Oh, so we want to be protected, right? We want our families protected. And we want to do it what? Faith. Okay, we want to do it in love, right? We want to know we have the power, right? And we want to keep our sound mind about it. Amen? Yes, yeah. Amen? The one thing I've never seen him do this much in a meeting is implant that concept in our spirits. Okay? He's really implanting that in our spirits. So we can know we want the faith, the love, the power. Yes. Not the victim, but the power on the sound mind. Sound mind is a mind that can hear God. Sound mind is a mind that can be led by the Spirit of God. Sound mind is someone who is in connection with God in the mind of Christ, and they know exactly what's going on because they're led by the Spirit of God. Yes. Think of it. What would an unsound mind be? Someone led by false voices, somebody led by the spirits of the world, somebody, if you thought somebody was really unsound, right? They're hearing voices, they're believing demonic spirits, right? So what would sound mind be? A sound mind would be someone who really hears God. So don't think of it in terms of psychiatry sound mind, because God says the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Psychiatry sound mind says, if you save a whale and kill a baby, you're smart, but if you think that a baby starts in the womb, something's wrong with you. But I mean, it's ridiculous. That's unsound. Amen? So when we say sound mind, the mind of Christ, agreeing with the Word of God, but with a real way, right? Really seeing it work, really applying it. And that's going to come from faith. That's going to come from faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, not seen. Faith, we have a whole teaching on faith. And Tuesday night we may deal with pretended faith. There's so much pretended faith, okay? Pretended faith is fear-based. I found the word. It's going to solve all my problems. Oh, God, I found the word. It's going to solve all my problems. Say it. Declare it, name it, claim it. It used to be name it, claim it. Now it's declare it, proclaim it. And it's just not coming from God connected with you and speaking His heart through your mouth. It's fear-based. Okay? And so the biggest thing in any of this, if we don't want to be a victim, we need to let God take us to every place where we have fear and bring healing. And don't give up. Like, if you don't, you're not going to get all that here today. Amen? But it's like, well, you know what? I'm going to go after it. I'm going to get in a small group ministry, or I'm going to get a friend or two who love the Lord, and we're going to really pray and really deal with some of these issues. I'm not going to live in fear. And could you kind of get to the place where the fear in your past, you recognize it wasn't faith, so you can finally let it go and let God be in charge? My gosh, some people go through the same trial over and over and over. And God's still working. Praise God. And He's faithful and He helps. But wouldn't it be nice to let go and let God really take charge? Amen? Always deal. If you want to deal with fear, always go to what are you really afraid of and really break it down. If you're afraid of dying, I mean, I was talking, you know, to someone recently, and their fear was that they were going to die. The devil said they were going to kill him. So instead of saying, oh, don't believe the devil, which you don't, but my first thing would be, or somebody has, if I ever meet somebody who's fighting for their life against cancer or something like that, which we have all the time, I probably said this to Deborah. One of my first things I'll say, unless led by the Spirit, is, so what happens if you die? If you're fear of death, then your fear of punishment. The only person who can be afraid of dying, according to God's word, is somebody who's still afraid of punishment, which means you don't understand God. You don't understand what He's paid for. So you got to break down the fear, because God never heals somebody because they think they need to live and not die because they don't want to die yet, or because somebody needs to be there for their kids, or somebody needs that. There's not like this right list of, God, if I give you all these reasons why I shouldn't die, can I live? He doesn't operate in that, okay? Because you should live and glorify God, because He's promised us a lot of years on the earth, amen? Because He's our healer, He's our deliverer, okay? That's why we have to look and say, okay, what is my deepest fear? And be so honest, okay? I'll do the thing about husbands in a minute. Listen, what is my deepest fear? And I always tell people, take it back as far as you can, because usually you stop at a place that's not your deepest fear. So let's say, so if somebody, so I try to minister to the deepest fear first.